Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're tackling non-small cell lung cancer, NSCLC. It's a huge global challenge.
Huge. It accounts for about 85% of all lung cancers.
And the survival rate, just 18.1% over 5 years, that's really stark. It highlights the problems, right? Like drug resistance, nasty side effects.
Exactly. Current therapies face real obstacles.
So the question we're asking today is, what if some answers are, closer than we think, maybe even in nature's pharmacy?
That's precisely it. This deep dive looks at preclinical research, specifically into natural compounds, herbal medicines for NSCLC.
And what's the main takeaway?
Well, the core finding is genuinely remarkable. These natural agents, they show immense promise, not just fighting cancer directly, but also boosting conventional treatments.
Okay.
And it's worth remembering, this isn't like a totally new idea. About half of all approved anti-cancer drugs between, say, 1940 and 2014, they came from natural products.
Right, things like Taxol.
Exactly. Taxol analogs and also the vinca alkaloids, vincristine, vinblastine, those are well-known examples.
So nature's been a source for a long time, but what makes these compounds so interesting now in the lab? How are they working?
Well, they show this really diverse range of anti-cancer effects in the preclinical models. They seem to operate through multiple mechanisms, often complementing each other.
Multiple mechanisms.
Okay, it's sort of a multi-pronged attack, which is what makes them potentially so powerful.
And it's these different ways they work that you should really pay attention to. Like some compounds just attack the cells directly.
Correct. For instance, licorice extract. It's been shown to stop NSCLC growth by messing with the cell cycle. And another one, homeosulflavonone 1, seems to trigger cell death by halting that cycle via the P38-P53 pathway.
Which is like a crucial safety check for cells, right?
Precisely. Prevents improper division. But it goes beyond just, standard apoptosis or cell death.
How so?
Compounds like curcumin and its analogs, they seem to induce broader forms of cell death, things like ferroptosis and pyroptosis.
Okay, those sound complex. Why are they important?
Well, they're these unique forms of programmed cell death, and they seem critical for getting around the cancer's clever resistance mechanisms.
Bypassing resistance, that's key.
Definitely. And what's also really compelling is how some natural compounds can tweak the immune system.
Modulate the immune system.
All right.
Like how?
So licorice extract, it seems to enhance antigen presentation, helps T cells get into the tumor. And astragalus polysaccharides, they look like they improve the antitumor immune response by influencing macrophages.
Wow. Okay. So not just killing cancer cells, but rallying the body's defenses too.
Exactly. It broadens their potential use, maybe even alongside immunotherapies. And connecting this to the bigger picture, some compounds even target stress pathways.
Stress pathways, you mean like psychological stress?
Yeah. There's a formula called Chaihu-Longu-Muli decoction, CLM. It seems to inhibit lung cancer progression that's been induced by chronic stress. It makes a direct link.
That is fascinating. So attacking cells, boosting immunity, and tackling stress impacts, it really changes the game. Now, what about using these with existing treatments? Is it just adding effects, or is there real synergy?
The goal is absolutely synergy. You want to boost the effectiveness, yes, but also overcome resistance and really crucially reduce those toxic side effects from conventional therapy.
Making treatment more tolerable.
Right. Better results, potentially with lower doses of the standard drugs, that could be a major leap for patients.
Can you give us an example?
Sure. Curcumin, when combined with cisplatin, that's a common chemo drug, it didn't just inhibit cancer stem cells and prevent resistance.
Yeah.
It also improved sensitivity to X-rays. And get this. Curcumin seemed to neutralize the toxic effects of another drug, paclitaxel, on healthy cells while actually enhancing its cancer-killing power.
That's a powerful double whammy. Less harm, more effect.
Exactly. And similarly, Scutellaria bicalensis with cisplatin, it boosted the anti-cancer effect and reduced cisplatin side effects like
Yeah,
cachexia.
that's the severe muscle wasting.
Right. And renal damage, kidney harm. So you see the potential for improving the patient experience right there.
It sounds incredibly promising, but
Yeah.
there have to be challenges, right? Getting this from the lab to the
Oh,
clinic.
absolutely. There are significant hurdles. Things like poor water solubility, low oral bioavailability, common for compounds like curcumin. Basically, they're hard for the body to absorb well. Plus, standardizing these complex, multi-component herbal formulas, that's tricky. There's still a critical gap between these lab findings and actual human trials.
So the potential's definitely there, but the path forward isn't simple. There are specific problems to solve.
Exactly. Future research really needs to focus on developing better drug delivery systems,
Yeah.
nanoparticles, things like that, to get past those absorption issues.
Okay.
We also desperately need better validation, better standardization of these compounds, and more relevant preclinical models too, like patient-derived xenografts.
Where you grow human tumor tissue in like a mouse model.
Precisely. It gives us a much closer look at how these might actually work in people.
So let's leave our listeners with this thought. Imagine a future where cancer treatment isn't just about powerful drugs, but includes these innovative natural compounds. Compounds that not only target cancer, but maybe shield healthy cells, and even tackle the effects of stress on the disease. What kind of new frontiers could that open up for patient care, for well-being?